that's great.
As far as I understand, we have 10 counselors on the call, which means that they can start, and all the regions are represented. So in front of you, you see agenda. Let me welcome you to this call after such a long break. Last time we met in Helsinki, that was a face-to-face meeting. So as always, our attendance list will be available on our website and on the Council Wiki. So agenda item number two, we have distributed council minutes, minutes from the last council meeting, and we received two comments. Thanks a lot for those who read minutes carefully. Both comments are incorporated in the document which is published. What about action items, Kim? Could you please update us on action items?
Hi, Katrina. All action items are completed.
Thank you very much. Then we smoothly move to the next agenda item. Yeah, well, the break was very long, so we had to take several decisions online. You see the list of all the things that have been done. We worked really hard, even though it was a holiday season for many of us. So we have, well, I think basically you see everything in front of you. I want to read it out loud. The most important one was appointment of the Customer Standing Committee. And as you remember, we now decided to list all the interim decisions so that to increase our transparency and that everybody can see, and so that all these decisions are noted. Yeah, another thing that we discussed, but it's not included in our agenda today, it's about the follow-up on the survey on the accountability in our quest to increase accountability and transparency. I think it's still a very hot topic for us, but we will have to defer it to our meeting, our call in October. Then there are other other things. They are not done by the council. However, we have to note that our FOI advisory team, Becky and Keith, they have they sent the recommendation to IANA staff. It's about the contact details of persons and entities who need to provide consent. You may remember that we discussed it December last year and also February this year. Well, advisory on implementation has been sent, as I already mentioned, and it was also circulated on the council list. Some related to this, I think it's also must be noted that Nigel has raised this issue. Well, we all know that Keith has been retired and works on this in his spare time. Okay, now he has a lot, but anyway, we know that Becky always been a driving force for that. Also going to leave the council after the meeting in Hyderabad, and that's why Nigel has raised an issue, an idea to appoint two, perhaps appoint two additional councillors to this advisor, FOI, implementation advisory team. I don't know, Nigel, if you want to say something, well, really, really briefly.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me? I'm unfortunately in transit at the moment. I'm sitting outside a bakery on a German motorway. So it's very difficult to participate in the meeting. We've been travelling since yesterday afternoon. Just confirm again that you can hear me and I can hear you.
We can hear you. Not sure if you can hear us.
And I can now hear you. That's fine. Yeah, so the whole point, I'll be as very brief as I can. I shall probably have to leave the meeting after item 4, which I hope we know we'll be coming to next in any event. The FOI implementation group should consist of at least 2 councillors, more if we have more volunteers, in my opinion. Keith has pretty much, he's no longer a councillor, and all he's doing is fishing now. I've seen some comments from him on Facebook to that effect. And of course, Becky, although she's still with us until India, and she's on this call, of course, will be forced to stand down upon becoming an ICANN board member. So we really need some overlap between now and then, and review where we've got with reviewing IANA's processes against the adopted policy. But so I hope, I mean, it's no different from what I've said on the email, but you heard it live now. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel. I don't think one has to be a councillor to be on this advisory board, but of course it depends on the council. If the council believes that we need 2 more people, because this issue apparently, maybe won't be solved by Hyderabad, then maybe that's the way to go. May I ask Becky's opinion, perhaps? Would you feel better to have at least two more volunteers from the council sitting next to you and helping with these things?
I think to the extent that stuff is undone or new stuff needs to be reviewed, that makes perfect sense. I don't know how much more has to be done, but I think the council could appoint folks and we could and make that determination, and they could be available sort of on call for the IANA staff. The only thing that I don't know for sure is whether the customer standing committee would play a role in this.
That's a good question. Does anyone has a response to that? Stephen, I see your hand up.
Good morning. I don't have a specific answer to that, but I would think that there's going to be some interaction. I think we do, to echo what Nigel said, need some overlap. We certainly could benefit from having a written report what has transpired with the IANA staff with regards to FOI implementation. But I do believe we should have some overlap and get some fresh blood in there, given that both members of this group will shortly be gone from the scene. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is something for the councillors to think about. Please think about if you want to be part of it, and if you want to participate, you can apply, contact Becky and Keith, so that you are up to date with what's going on. And perhaps we will revisit this. We'll have to revisit this in October, unless we are ready to have any decision now. But I don't think we should do it now. So let's do it just think about this and be prepared to step forward, and we'll discuss it in October. Stephen, is it your old hand or a new one? Yeah, okay. Thank you. So let's move forward then, and this is a very important issue. It's IANA stewardship transition. And we have a very good ISTP call. We had one yesterday and previous ones. ISTP, that's a group where we come together and discuss what's going on, what are the issues with around CWG. And Stephen and Becky, they have been very active on these calls and with other issues, major issues actually, and we're going to discuss them a little bit later at agenda item 4.3. Here is just to inform you that all the councillors who are interested in these issues are welcome to join ISTP calls. You all have invitations to those calls if you want to join them. Then we have agenda item 4.2, CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 update. Becky, can I ask you to provide an update on the progress?
Sure. The work teams have been formed for the various issues in Workstream 2, including the human rights issue and ICANN, SOAC accountability, and other a variety of transparency and the document review process. In addition, the independent review process implementation oversight team, which is a subset of the CCWG, has been working hard to come to closure on some interim rules for the IRP implementing the updates of implementing the bylaws changes on that front. And I think that's an item that will hopefully soon go to the full CCWG and then out for public comment from that. There's not a lot of CCWG participation or CCNSO participation in that. I don't know if anybody is interested. I have been sharing it, but obviously I will step down from sharing it as well when I go on the board. So there will be some transition there. But basically it's moving forward, and there will be a face-to-face meeting in advance of the Hyderabad meeting, like the day before.
Thank you very much, Becky. Are there any questions to Becky? I see Nigel's hand is up. Is it a comment, a question? Yes, please, Nigel, go ahead. Well, now we cannot hear you. At least I definitely cannot hear you. Nigel, will you try to speak? Okay, apparently it's not working. Please let us know. Okay, yeah. Now start hearing something. Nigel, will you talk? No. Okay, maybe later.
Maybe later.
No.
Nigel, can you type your question or remark in the chat? I know you're in the AC room.
Okay, so agenda item 4.3 then. Nigel has lost audio. So may I ask Kim to open the table with Yes, thank you. And here we're going to talk about IANA naming functions agreement, something really important for ccTLD. And you've probably seen a draft statement that has been circulated about the discussions around this agreement. Well, as you know, the pressure is increasing significantly since we're approaching this critical date of 1st October. So for us, it's this naming functions agreement is very important, and our members on CWG, especially Paul Kane, had indicated concern about the direction of travel that particular the draft agreement was heading to. Becky and Stephen worked a lot. They read through all these all the documents and provided some comments. And Paul submitted them to ICANN. And here in front of you, you see the table with all the comments, response that we received from ICANN, and the current status. All the green lines are the ones that have already been implemented, hopefully. Okay, maybe just to make it faster, may I ask Bart to walk us through the table?
Yeah, thank you, Katrina. Just one caveat. This is a table based on the documents available until yesterday evening, my time. This morning, and this is where you can see the pace of change, this morning, and I've sent it to you, a new draft has been circulated, including a table of changes. So I haven't looked at it yet. I think nobody has at this stage. But it shows you the pace of change, and it will, and what we've done until now, based on the conversations at the ISTC call, is we used a table that was compiled by ICANN staff and what was circulated by Becky about 1.5 week ago. And what I've done is at least tick the rose green, which have been accepted to date by the say by this full CWG implementation group that includes Sidley, ICANN staff, etc. I don't know to what extent it is reflected in the updated draft, but that's where we're at. Now, I think this is important in moving forward, and it's important to monitor it on an almost on a daily basis to see where the changes are, given, say, the potential need for, say, council or CCNSO comment in the public comment period on this agreement. And this agreement is probably at the core of what is important for the ccTLD community at large. So just to recap, this is a table based on the submissions by Paul Kane, but as prepared by the CWG CCNSO appointed members and participants, especially by Stephen and Becky. I don't know to what extent it has been, say, it needs to be updated given where we are right now, but this is the tool to monitor which of the which changes have been already incorporated and where Council should focus, if it wants to, on submitting a comment, and others as well. Hope that's clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bart. So just to make it clear, the draft agreement is out for public comment, and public comment period closes next Friday. Clearly, our members on CWG and some other people who are involved in this would expect the council to come with a statement pointing out to those things that are not acceptable for the CCTLD community. I know that some other groups also might work on their comments. But basically what we have to decide whether we are, the CCNSO Council, going to submit a statement and what exactly should we write in the statement. Are there any questions in this at this point? I see there's one in chat window from Peter, but Bart apparently is responding to that. So,
I'll do it this way. It's easier.
Yeah, okay.
My typing is not as fast. As far as I know, it does, but you can already see at the level of the CWG itself, it's not been accepted. There is some comments already from one or two GAC members on this language. This evening there will be a CWG call at 2000 UTC. Probably that's when they're really going to discuss it. So I'll monitor what the outcome will be, but say what I circulated is up for discussion. That was the latest we I could lay my hands on. So hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Thank you, Bart. Peter, does it answer your question? Well, I hope it does. So you also have this draft of the council statement, but we still have to work on it. We should perhaps have three parts, so in some introduction, general comments, and specific comments on those issues that will not be resolved by Friday. So which means that we as the council should come up with a statement by Thursday the latest, so that we have time to submit comments to the final draft, well, final at that point. So I really hope that Becky and Steven will be able to join the team to draft this statement, and I just want to ask other councillors, does anyone want to join the team to draft this statement on this really, really important issue? Okay, Stephen is in, and Becky is in too. Any other volunteer? So really, anyone could join, and of course, all the councillors will be informed about the drafts, so how the work is moving forward. Okay, so at least Stephen and Becky, I hope that others will also join the team. So are there any more questions or suggestions around this particular issue, the council statement, or anything? Stephen, please.
I think it's imperative that we make an effort during the course of today to for the council members who are not up to speed on this to get themselves up to speed on this issue, particularly the GAC principles 1.3 issue, and touch base with the CC representatives on the CWG, because they would like advice. It was clear from yesterday's CWG call that they are seeking guidance and advice and support from the CC community, particularly from council. I suspect that tonight's meeting is going to be rather contentious, and if we could make an effort collectively to touch base with them today and lend them our support and give them our thoughts as to the importance of insisting on the inclusion of reference to GAC section 1.3, I think that would be very useful for them as they go into this tonight, because this is probably going to be rather contentious. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Bart?
Just one remark, and I think that I need to, I want to stress, say, first, councillors should expect something by Wednesday at the latest, end of close of day. It would be very, very helpful if they can respond as soon as possible on the draft, because this is a very timely exercise in the sense of very tight deadlines, etc. So I just want to stress, please be available or expect an email by end of Wednesday so you can respond on Thursday whether you support the statement, and if there is consensus on the support, that Katrina can submit it on Friday at the latest on behalf of the CCNSO Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Bart. My understanding is that Stephen proposes to give some heads up to our members on CWG today. Stephen, could you be more specific? What is your proposed course of action?
To me, it's really critical that the language that Becky developed regarding the reference to the GAC principles that's in the NAMES contract include a reference to Section 1.3, which states in the GAC principles that they are voluntary. Without that, I feel that what's going on here is an end run to elevate the GAC principles to a policy level on an equal basis with the framework of interpretation. And the GAC principles are not ICANN policy. They did not come to the board as a formal recommendation with consensus from the GAC. They are voluntary. I have grave concerns about making a reference to them in the NAMES contract. It opens a can of worms that we just, I feel very strongly, should not open. And what I'm encouraging council to do for those who are not up to speed on the NAMES contract is to take a look at what's going on here and provide your thoughts to the CC representatives on the CWG. It was clear in yesterday's call that they were asking for support from the community, particularly council. They were asking for input from the community, particularly council, as to what's important to council, and council's been pretty quiet in voicing what they feel is important. And I feel like we're leaving our CC volunteers on the CWG kind of we've left them out to dry, basically, and they need our support at this point. This is not going to be a fun meeting for them tonight. So I'm just encouraging people who have not looked at this stuff yet to look at it and contact our CC representatives and let them know what you think about it and let them know that, you know, thank them for what they're doing, because this is to me is critically important. If we don't get this right, it could take us back to the bad old days of 2002, and we do not want to go there. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, thank you for this encouragement. I would disagree that the council has been silent. Becky and you have been very active, and probably we didn't act as a group, but we're still planning to have this statement, and we're going to be very strict and very strong about that. Peter has a particular question in chat window. Stephen, I hope you will take his question in the chat window so that let me summarize now. Becky and Stephen will participate in this statement drafting group together with the secretariat so that we have a draft up to date comments, the final draft, the final published draft, and by Wednesday, the latest, we need input from other councillors, so please pay attention so that we can have a very good and strong statement ready to be sent on Friday morning at the latest. Thank you. If there are no more comments to this issue, let's move to agenda item number 5. Kim, may I ask you to change? Yes, thank you. In your pack of materials, you received 3 updated and new guidelines. The Guidelines Review Committee worked really hard all summer and came up with these guidelines. So the goal of these guidelines is to have our documents in line with the 27 May bylaws, the new version of bylaws. So here we have guideline on the board seat 11 and 12. There are some changes have been made to that guideline. I see there's Peter's hand up. So before we move into details about these guidelines, Peter, please.
No worries, Katrina. Thank you. Yes, so sorry, this is back to the gag point. I'm sorry to keep on dragging on that one. But I probably wasn't very clear in the chat, so my question is still unanswered. I understand that some people think it's crucial to have a reference to the specific section in the gag principles, the 1.3, that says this only applies when everybody, both GOF and CCTLD, agree. I don't understand, from a legal point of view, why it is necessary. It's useful, I can see that, but I don't see from a legal point of view why it is necessary to have that specific reference in the naming function service agreement. If there is a reference to the GREC principles, and these principles, and I used the example of a contract in my question, which apparently didn't clarify things, on the contrary. But if there is a reference to the GREC principles in the agreement, and those principles say we only apply in that particular case, and that particular case is not at hand, so for instance, CC doesn't accept the GAG principles, or both don't accept the GAG principles, then that reference to the GAG principles is simply irrelevant. It is not because we're referring to the GAG principles that suddenly the GAG principles are accepted by all, or that anything in those GAG principles is changed. So, again, why I understand why some CCs would like to remind governments that these GAG principles only apply in the particular cases mentioned, I don't see the need for it. So before we engage in a fight that might not get us anywhere, I really would like to understand why this is so crucial. If there is a legal need, then I think at least the CCs that I've been discussing this with would be happy to support, but so far I don't see the need. I see the usefulness of it, but not the need. So if anybody could explain that to me, that would be extremely helpful. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Peter. Becky?
So I think that the specific reference to 1.3 is helpful. It is not absolutely necessary except for the purpose of clarity. But the GAC is not even willing to accept as applicable. And in the FOI, we were very clear. We used very clear and consistent language about where applicable. And I think that the problem is that the NAMES contract essentially tells the IANA the PTI to consider RFC 1591 as interpreted by the FOI and the GAC principles when they're making decisions. And it doesn't make any distinction. It doesn't make any distinction between sort of what those two, the standing of those two documents. And I think that there are, frankly, a lot of GAC people who will will argue that the GAAP principles are generally applicable. And frankly, I think IANA staff, until we educated them through the FOI, was under the impression that they were generally applicable. So, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but I do think that without at least saying where applicable, we are opening ourselves up to a round of unpleasantness about it. And I am sort of curious about the GAAP response. You know, they want to take this out because they don't want to be reminded of the language that they actually put in the GAAP principles themselves.
Thank you, Becky. Peter?
Thanks, Becky. That is very helpful. So I fully agree that where applicable is the minimum that should be in there. I'm happy to start looking for European governments in that might have opposed principles in the past, so that might be supportive of that. And also something I was thinking of is if we would get input from the GTLDs on this and make sure that a reference to where applicable could also be interpreted to the distinction between CCs and GTLDs, then maybe some governments that are now sitting on the fence be convinced to accept the where applicable without losing face, because it wouldn't be discussing the CCTLD and government agreement or disagreement over the GAAP principles, but it would just point out the very real fact that GAAP principles are completely irrelevant when it comes to 90% of the TLDs in the IANA zone file. So maybe that is helpful. But thanks, that was very interesting.
Thank you very much. Very interesting discussion. So, are there any more comments on this? Maybe we could add some more 15 minutes to our meeting time so that everybody has a chance to express their opinion, ask a question. So, if not... then if there are no more comments, questions, or suggestions, let's move back to agenda item number 5 now. So we have 3 guidelines. First one, the CNSO guideline board seat 11 and 12 nominations. According to the new bylaws, the CCNSO Council now nominates the board member who then is appointed by the empowered community. And in this guideline, the procedure has been described in more detail, so from our internal perspective. Then there are 2 new guidelines. One is a long-awaited CNSO guideline on selection and appointment of our member to the Root Zone Evolution Review Committee. As you remember, it just turned out that we had to appoint a member by 12th of August, which came absolutely unexpected because our impression was that we had to appoint one by the end of September, which apparently was not the case. So you kindly appointed me an interim representative on ARZERC, despite the lack of in-depth knowledge in root zone management. So I won't even show it in my CV. because I hope that according to this guideline we'll be able to find good representative from the CCTLD community to the RZAC. So I hope you read the guideline. It's basically it's very much like the guideline on the customer standing committee when we selected our representatives to the CSC. Apart from the fact that we do not have to coordinate our choices with anyone, we just issue a call and review all the applications. So that's another guideline. I hope if we adopt it today, we will be able to launch a call for expression of interest as soon as possible. And third, also new guideline, it's a CCNSO guideline, appointment of CCNSO representative to Empowered Community Administration Committee. By default, again, that's the chair of the CCNSO, but the council may decide on any other representative. And the procedure is described in this guideline. So are there any questions about these three guidelines? Okay, I see none. Then I'll just probably briefly tell you some other things that the GRC is still working on. With respect to the new bylaws, one of the most pressing is that we will have to appoint our representatives to the special review teams. That guideline is in pretty good shape, but it hasn't been signed off by the group to submit to the council. But I hope that we will do that as soon as possible. So any questions about that? Maybe some other suggestions? You think that we need some more guidelines, some guidelines to guide the Guidelines Review Committee? No questions, no suggestions? Okay, thank you. In that case, we have a resolution, and you see it in front of you. We have to adopt these guidelines. Anyone wants to say anything? No. So, do we have a mover?
I move we adopt. Stephen here.
I will second.
Thank you, Stephen.
I'll second.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. So we have a mover and seconder. So anyone wants to discuss these guidelines? No questions, no suggestions, nothing. Okay, thank you. Then I will ask for a vote. Is there anyone who opposes these guidelines? Anyone against? No. Anyone abstains? No, then I assume that everybody votes in favor. Thank you very much. So with the adoption of these guidelines, we start working on the call for expressions of interest to participate in RZERC, and of course we also seek for volunteers to be our representative on the empowered community. And once the guidelines are effective, we can send the calls. Yeah, so in my plan initially, that was a mistake when I assumed that we can issue a call next day after we adopt the guideline. No, we have to wait 7 days. So basically next week, at the end of the next week, we will issue a call for expressions of interest. But the plan is still to have our representative by the end of September, on our ZERC, I mean. So, thank you. Let's move forward. Next agenda item is council elections, agenda item number 6. And so over the next month, we need to have to run three council elections. One is a normal, regular council election, and then a special election for the African region. As you remember, Vika stepped down. And then the third council election to replace Becky. And of course, she will leave the council after our meeting in Hyderabad. So we have. Okay, let's start with the easiest one. It's a regular council election. We need to appoint an election manager and adopt the timeline. According to the the schedule, the term ends for the following councillors, and the term ends, let me remind you, in March next year. So it's for Suleiman in African region, Hiro in Asia-Pacific region, Nigel in Europe, and Alejandra in LAC, and Stephen in the North American region. So here you see the proposed timeline for council nominations and elections. Any questions, any suggestions? No? Then we have two resolutions, draft resolutions at this point. One is that we adopt the timeline, and another one, we have to appoint election manager. Well, proposal is to adopt UOKE. Do we have a mover?
I'll move, Byron.
Thank you, Byron.
I'll second, Stephen.
Yes, Stephen. Stephen, thank you.
Stephen, thank you.
Okay, anyone wants to discuss anything? I think everything looks quite clear here. So let's move to voting. Who is against? Nobody. Who abstains? Again, nobody. So I assume that we unanimously voted for the timeline and for appointment of Joke as election manager. Congratulations, Joke. Then we have a special council election, and that's special council election number one to replace Vika in African region. So again, here you see that we foresee a Q&A session in Hyderabad. And again, two resolutions. First, we adopt the timeline for special election in African region and appoint election manager.
I will move that.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, so we have a mover. Great. Seconders?
I'll second it, Byron.
Thank you, Byron. Yeah. So, again, this is a regional thing, and we assume that we'll have candidate by Hyderabad so that we can run a Q&A session. So any discussion on that? Any questions? No? Okay, if not, may I ask for a vote? Anyone against? Anyone abstains? Okay, carried. Thank you very much. So the question now is about a special election in North American regions to replace Becky. So one thing is to run it in parallel with the current, with others, with this special election, but taking into account that Becky is still on the council, we can do perhaps, of course, taking into account the special status of North American region. So perhaps we can run it after our meeting in Hyderabad, India, as I say, India. So what do you think? I see that Byron has to run, unfortunately. So North American region, what do you think? Can you find a great candidate?
I'm sure we can find a great candidate. We just have to talk among ourselves. We have a limited number of options.
Okay, thank you.
I would echo Becky's statement. Obviously, there aren't that many of us here, which makes us, quote, special. So that's a bit of a challenge, but perhaps that's a takeaway for Becky and I and Stephen to rustle up some potential names that we could at least suggest and put forward. If that's okay with volunteering my colleagues on the council from North America.
Yes, no, that's not a problem. I think we can come up with appropriate candidates here.
Okay, so you have time until our meeting in India, so that you'll find. I know it's impossible to replace Becky, but please do your best to come up with a great candidate. Thank you. So we'll have it after Hyderabad. Let's move forward then. We have board seat 11 nomination. Yet another thing we have to run according to the new guideline. So there are two possible options. One is we run it in parallel with our normal council elections, regular council elections, or alternatively we can wait until January. So as you know, currently the board seat 11 is filled by Chris. It ends November next year. It's easier for us if you make a chart a little bit. I think we can do it ourselves. We can increase the size even. So there are pluses on the bottom of the screen. So there are two ways to run that. One is now, and then we're good and don't have to worry about some special elections in spring. Or we can do it, wait until January. Personally, I would prefer to have it now, but I see that Abibu, for example, prefers to have it in January. What do others think? Do you think that it's... I think it's much easier to have all the elections and then we have a Q&A with our board candidates and our council candidates in India. Yeah, so Stephen also agrees that sooner is better. So currently, at this point, we have the timeline, which starts September. For secretariat is not an issue. They will. I think it's much easier to concentrate on elections once a year than do it twice a year. So. It's okay with the secretariat. Peter has a comment about Chris' mandate ends more than 1 year from now. For example, if we have another, we select another candidate. then there will be time for the new candidate to the new newly appointed board member to get acquainted with the work of the board. So, of course, if we choose Chris and he's eligible for re-election, and I think he's a great great asset to the CCNSO on the ICANN board. So, of course, then it's not a problem to select somebody later. Normally we always run it in autumn, so early in advance. So, again, we have draft resolutions. Do we have a mover?
So moved, Becky.
Thank you, Becky. Seconder?
Here, hey. Yeah,
thanks. Thank Stephen.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen.
So, any more discussions? I saw discussions here in chat, you know, but I hope we addressed all the issues. No more questions, no more discussions. Then probably let's move to the vote. Anyone opposing the sooner the better timeline? Please do not type. It will take time, and people have to leave already. Okay, I do not see anyone opposing. Anyone abstains? No. So resolution is carried. Thank you very much. And we also have to now we have to appoint nominations, a selection manager for the board seat. And it's, Jokke again. We voted for both elections for previous months. A little bit mixed here. Do we have a mover?
I'll move it, Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Seconder? No. Seconder? Okay, Alejandro seconded. Thank you. Any discussions? No. Anyone opposing? No. Anyone abstains? So, everybody voted in favor. Thank you very much. Agenda item number 8. Unfortunately, we have not so good updates from Ron. As you know, Ron has fallen ill, and although he's recovering, still needs to spend a lot of time and actually attend his health. So, unfortunately, he decided that it's better for him and. I think at this point he more worries about the CCNSO and ALAC. He believes that it's better if he steps down and somebody who can spend more time on these issues would take his place. I have asked Maureen to step in for Ron at least by our meeting in India, because at this point. It's not so easy to find a good replacement. So Maureen will cover up for Ron and provide us with updates on ALAC issues. And after Hyderabad, we will start. We will seek for a replacement for Ron. So that's an update, and I think that Maureen just sent an update. To by email, Maureen, would you like to say anything to?
Uh,
Oh, okay, apparently not. Then thank you very much. Thank you very much, Maureen, for stepping in for Ron. Yes,
stepping in for Ron.
Okay, Maureen, that was you. Yes, okay. Yes, we will pause your report. Thank you very much for that. Stephen, please.
Does the council compose and send to Ron a letter of thanks for all his work over the years with the liaison role? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I would also be happy to draft that.
Yep, thank you. Absolutely, we will do that because Ron has been with us for many years. It's really sorry that he has to leave so unexpectedly. Okay, next agenda item number 9, our meeting with preparation for our meeting in India. Alejandra, could you give an update, please?
Yes, thank you. Please, can you please? Oh, there it is. Thank you very much. So just a quick overview in the block schedule that I can provide us. We have 7 days in Hyderabad. And the ones that are in colors are the ones that we in the program working group. So the first, for prep meetings, we are starting on Friday, November, with the working group's face-to-face meetings and also with council meetings. We have a lunch prep meeting and then later in the evening, a meeting with ALAC. Tech Day will take place on Saturday after the opening ceremony. And also note that the first public forum will be that day. On Sunday, we are starting with our session meetings. And as in Helsinki, we will have the morning and until 3 p.m. for our own sessions, and after that we will have cross-community discussions. For this, we need to submit some high-level topics or high-interest topics, and then there will be selected, as in Helsinki, to see which ones will be on the general schedule. Also, it's important to note that on Monday, we will have an early start with the ICANN board. We will start at 8:30 and meet with them and then continue with our session. Finally, note that on Thursday, there will be the second public forum in two parts. So if you wish to attend those, that's the way things are laying out in general. If we can move, please, to the draft agenda now. Please. Thank you very much. That's much better. Thank you. So, it's scrollable, so you can move it yourself. Thank you. Some highlights of the agenda for Hyderabad is that now as we have topics for CCTLD news, legal, and marketing sessions. For example, for CCTLD news, we have the topic on how to stay relevant in a mature market innovation for and by CCTLD. This gives a little more structure to the sessions. Also, here in the Sunday, we have a joint meeting with the GAC. So please note that. And in this same day, during the cross-community sessions, we will have the Q&A with CCNSO Council and ICANN Board nominees. So we will have a cross-community session first and then go back. Both sessions will be in the same room as far as I know, unless it changed. We will have the cross-community sessions on KPIs of ICANN and then the Q&A with the nominees. That day also is our CCNSO cocktail that needs to be confirmed. I'm not sure if we have enough sponsors yet. Also, on Monday, as I told you, please note the joint meeting with the board. And the topic for the legal session is the evolving multi-stakeholder model of internet governance, local policy development implications for CCTLD. And for the marketing session, we have domain name statistics and trends. This is to be linked with a highly interest topic that is the DNS Marketplace Health Index that is yet to be defined if it will be a cross-community session. Finally, we will have our CCNSO Council meeting that day at the end of the day, and in the end you can see all the sessions that we will have as council during Hyderabad in a very brief list if you have any questions or suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alejandra. Are there any questions or comments from the councillors or observers? Liaisons? No, I know we're running past the hour, and so probably we should recap the meeting, and I'll have these updates, take them online. But as you can see, there's a note from Kim in the chat window that we still do need more sponsors. So if you can help or you know somebody who can, please contact Kim. Kim will also approach all of you to check whether you will be in India for our meeting. So please expect an email from her. And as you know, we will meet, we'll have a prep meeting on Friday, and we also have meetings at ALAC, GNSO, and regular council meeting. But we will, we still have time to talk about that. Quickly about the updates, tonight we're going to have a call with Joran. It will be 21:45 UTC, so it's past midnight for me, but much friendlier time for Byron and Demi. So we will keep you in touch, we'll keep you informed about the things that we discussed. Yeah, and yeah, apparently we'll have to, it's almost a quarter past the hour, so that we will defer some other issues to our next meeting. So, any questions, any other business, anything you'd like to say? Okay, maybe just I will just in one more update from my side under 11.1, there's an update from EPASRP, which is Extended Panels, Extended Process Similarity Review Panel. I can never remember that. As you know, they have completed the report, and it has been out for public comment. We received one from ALAC and I think from BraveSign. Bart, any updates on that one? Because that's
yes. Thank you, Katrina. So the public comment closed last night at 23:59 UTC. We also received the working group received a comment from ASAC, which doesn't agree with the process. So it's now up to the working group to figure out how to deal with it. But I just wanted to share with you, and that's why I asked Katrina to mention it, that the public comment forum has closed, and the working group received 3 comments, and 1 was critical. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And, yeah, we'll probably we still have 1 minute. I'll mention also use of country and territory names working group, because recently Peter van Gogh raised a question regarding that. Well, you have received a written update, and it reflects the discussions to date on this working group. Please pay more attention to that. So apparently we will have to revisit this topic on our next calls. So any other business? If not, then it is quarter past 3. Three my time. So it's quarter past the hour.
Quarter past the hour.
If there are nothing you'd like to raise on the call, then thank you very much for attending. I see some update from Bibu in the chat window. So thank you very much for joining the call, and we'll definitely see you online. And don't forget about Wednesday and the council statement, and all the other things that we have to do. Thank you very much for joining the call, and see you next time.
Bye all.